You're listening to a Crossroads original podcast.
Welcome to the 100 Huntley Street podcast. I am your host today, Laura Watson, and I am so thrilled that you are joining us. Well, you know, for all of us, we don't know what our futures hold, right? And for those of us who follow Jesus and believe what the Bible says, we might not know what our future holds, but we know who holds our future. And in Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms in the Bible, it says that God ordained every single one of our days before even one of them came to be. So we know that God knows what's in store for us and what will happen. Of course, every single one of us is going to go through challenges in life, whether they are health challenges, financial challenges, relational challenges. And, you know, when we look at health challenges, sometimes there is such a difficulty around health challenges because there are times we receive, you know, healing for a health challenge we're facing and we've prayed for healing and we receive it and we receive the miraculous. And there are other times that that health challenge is not removed from us and we end up having to move through it in some way or, you know, seek out God's purpose or hope despite suffering. And, you know, I've had situations in my life where I've seen both happen. And in fact, with the same person in my life. And, you know, so initially they had a health challenge and we prayed for a miracle recovery and they had one. And then later on, some years later, that same person was diagnosed with cancer. And we prayed for a miracle and the Lord chose to take him home, take the person home to heaven. And so it's interesting because there's this tension, you know, we pray for healing and sometimes we receive it and other times we have to journey through whatever is before us. And it doesn't always mean we're going to die because every health challenge is different. But maybe we have to live out this life with specific health challenges and yet continue to lean into God and look for purpose and believe that Romans 8:28 is true, that he will work all things together for our good. Now, today I have incredible conversations to share with you. First, it's a woman, Janet Campbell, and she had a miracle recovery from cancer. And you're going to want to listen to this story and hear about the power of prayer in the face of a dire cancer diagnosis. And then later in the program, we have Tim Hagee Sr., and he's the winner of the Amazing Race Canada 1, like season 1. And he was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's and continues to live through this disease, but has started a nonprofit, U-Turn Parkinson's, is advocating for those with Parkinson's, has written a book, is part of incredible organizations, changing the world. And so we've got these two conversations for you that we know will inspire you if you're on a health or healing, you know, you're seeking healing, you're on a health journey. And so thrilled you're going to tune in and you're going to hear so much about who God is and what God can do and what life can look like with God involved in the face of any health journey that we are facing. So in just a moment, we're going to hear Janet's story. Stay with us.
It is the word no one ever wants to hear, but as the leading cause of death in Canada, too many are hearing it way too often. Of course, I'm talking about cancer, but despite the seriousness of the diagnosis and the disease, we have some hope for you today. Joining us with her personal story is Janet Campbell. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what led up to your diagnosis of cancer.
Well, it was really quite routine, actually, and it was really a miracle that it was discovered. So I happened to be at my doctor for a routine appointment, and I had not been having any symptoms. And that appointment had some regular blood work, and there was one result that came back a little bit kind of at the end of the ranges, but it wasn't anything that was alarming or that raised flags. But my doctor, thankfully, at that time said that just given that I had celebrated a milestone birthday, you know, I should go and have some other testing done. And it was that testing that really identified the fact that I had a tumor.
Yeah, so that was stage 3, right? Colon cancer?
I was stage 3C.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was actually very advanced.
What kind of prognosis were they giving you, or what kind of scenarios? Do they paint them for you, or do they just leave it at that?
Yeah, well, definitely, it was a pretty serious situation. I had a wonderful oncology team, and my doctor was really very straight with me in sharing any information that I had questions about. And I think that's one of the things that you want to know when you get that diagnosis is, what does that look like for me?
Yeah.
From a medical standpoint? And so he was very direct. It was very serious. It was late stage. And there's different types of colon cancer. And so the type that I had was very aggressive.
Mm.
And we were very aggressive with treatments. And I underwent major surgery.
Yeah.
Within a matter of weeks of finding out about my diagnosis.
Wow, like your whole world changed.
It really did. Things really changed overnight. I went from having a diagnosis to preparing for this major surgery and going through that process, and then straight into treatment, very aggressive treatment.
And, you know, my heart stopped when I read your story, because you were diagnosed in 2020, just a few months into the pandemic. Like, that is the scariest time. A very close person to me was diagnosed that year as well with cancer. And just the thought of going through chemo and having cancer during a pandemic, mm-hmm. when you just want to avoid people completely and you can't.
Yeah.
How is that affecting it?
Yeah, that was an interesting time. So my routine appointment that actually discovered the fact that I had cancer was scheduled before COVID hit. And it was scheduled, when it was scheduled and COVID hit, I thought, oh, it's going to be canceled. And it wasn't. And then I went in and this was revealed. And I couldn't believe it. It was very much a fog. And it was a very strange time. Of course, you're going in for the surgery and the treatments and the appointments by yourself. Your family can't be with you. Yeah. And so I think that was as hard on them as it was on anybody, really, to be in that situation. So it was a really different time. I thought that once they found the diagnosis that I would have disruption in my treatment, because, again, it was such a time when things were being canceled and there was a lot of uncertainty. And really, I do feel that God's hand was on me, and the fact that it was found, and also with respect to the care and the treatment that was put in my path at the right time. Because the fact that I was so late stage and it was so aggressive, really, I don't know what that outcome would have looked like for me if, you know, maybe there were delays. So I was very blessed.
Yeah, you describe this. So you come from a family of faith. Your mom, of course, well-known, former MP Joy Smith. You describe this moment where you can see her outside the hospital in her car praying for you as you go in for surgery, which is so beautiful. But, you know, you grew up in faith, but how is your faith playing into this in those, you know, that moment where you're facing a very serious diagnosis, you don't know the outcome, and you have to go through surgery? How is that changing your relationship with God?
I really deepened my relationship with God at that time. Definitely my faith is what carried me through the experience. I definitely had a lot of interaction with the Holy Spirit and just, you know, praying and talking with God at that time. And I would say that it really deepened my relationship. Faith has always been part of our family. I remember very young being in church and singing at the front of the church, and it was just a part of a part of life. And I think there's times in your life that you go through different phases, and you know, there I know for me personally, I have been a business executive, I traveled a lot, and it was hard to find those moments to go and worship and be part of a church community. And so I found it difficult at times to you know, keep that connection and be part of that journey, even though it was part of, you know, who I was and how I was raised. And what it did for me at that time is it really just gave me the opportunity to reground myself in that faith and explore that relationship. And I will say, I don't know how people would get through a struggle like that or anything else without without having that faith. Definitely for me, it was really key. I just reflect on that time, and I haven't talked about it in a little while, and it just gets a little difficult to talk about at times. But I found I worked from a place of gratitude. So when I had the diagnosis, I worked from a place of gratitude that they found it. Mm-hmm. And I worked from a place of having gratitude for the care team that was around me and my family and all the love and support that I had at that time. It was amazing. And I really was very peaceful through my journey. I remember feeling very much at peace with the fact that this was part of my journey. And while I didn't know what was in store for me and what was ahead, that I was okay with, you know, whatever that plan was. And I was very peaceful about it, actually.
Wow. And that has to be a supernatural act of God, because obviously, you know, any kind of frightening diagnosis is not accompanied by peace naturally in our humanity. And there's this moment that you describe where you felt a presence or a hand on your shoulder. Tell me about that.
Yeah, there were definitely times throughout the journey that really stand out in my mind. But this one time in particular, I was really quite sick. And I had just been dropped off from going for treatment and was settling back in at home. And my son was there. He was in university taking his courses online. And he would greet me and help to get me settled in and bring me whatever I needed. And we had been standing together. And he was checking in with what I needed. And then off he went to gather things up. And again, I was really quite ill at the time, and really quite weak. And you do go through lots of ups and downs in battles. There's lots of starts and stops and complications that come up. And I was in one of those periods. And all of a sudden, I could feel this presence again, and I felt this hand on my back. And I actually thought my son was back. That was what was going through my mind, like he was checking on me or was going to ask me a question. I turned around to look at him and respond, and I was by myself. And so that was a moment where I just paused, and I knew that I was just being comforted and reminded that I didn't need to be afraid, and that I had help and I would be strengthened. And so, yeah.
What a beautiful moment to let you know that you're not alone in the midst of that really dark valley you were in. And so we have just a minute left, but I know there's people watching right now who have had a diagnosis that is terrifying, that, you know, words they never wanted to hear. What would be your advice to them about how to face that with faith?
I would just really encourage them to lean into their faith. And I would encourage those around them to do the same. I think when you go through something like this, it's not your journey alone. There's a lot of others around you that are very much affected in this journey. And I would just really lean into your faith and yeah, God works miracles. And so be encouraged.
Yeah, 3 years later now, you are cancer free.
I am.
You are here.
Yes.
And thank the Lord that they found it. As you said, if you'd put it off during COVID, the outcome could have been so much different. So we're so thankful. And hey, if you're watching and you are facing something in your health that is terrifying you, I just want to remind you that we have resources available. And guess what? We are seeing miracles on that prayer line. People are calling back and saying, doctors can't believe this, but I'm doing so much better. So, no promises, but I tell you what, God will be there for you and give you the same peace that He has given her, and He is no respecter of persons. That number, 1-866-273-4444. Just send an email even at prayer@crossroads.ca. We promise we will pray for you.
Such an incredible testimony that Janet has. Wow, it really is incredible. And to just hear how God moved in her life and how she is cancer-free 2 years later. And we know God does miracles. We know that God does the miraculous. I know so many firsthand accounts of God doing the miraculous, healing from various, diseases, even limbs growing longer. I have heard so many stories from people I trust. I have seen things happen. And I'm just, amazed at God's ability to heal us and restore us. And in this moment, if you're on a health journey, which so many people are, I'd love to pray with you and just ask God boldly for healing. You know, in the Bible, it says that we are to come together and pray and ask in faith for those things that we need. And so we should do that in this moment together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and I lift up the needs of my brothers and sisters listening. I lift up their health challenges to you. God, we ask that you would move in a miraculous way in their bodies, in their minds, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you would heal their bodies. God, we stand in faith. We stand in agreement that you can do this. God, we command every cell in their bodies to come in line with your word, God, that you promise us to be healed and to be healthy and strengthened. And God, we thank you that you can do the miraculous. We believe that you can do the miraculous. Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. God, there were so many miracles Jesus did. And so we are your followers. We believe that you can move in mighty ways now. God, we proclaim every health issue to be moved out of the body of the person listening now in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for healing. We thank you, God, for the wisdom that you give doctors. And we ask that you would give the doctors who are caring for our listeners great wisdom. We thank you, God, for favor in every hospital, every doctor's appointment. And God, we ask for your grace to cover our listeners and their loved ones while they go through these health journeys. And Lord, we thank you that you can do above and beyond all we could think or ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you want more prayer right now, please feel free to call our prayer partners. Call 1-866-273-4444. They're there to pray with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they know what it's like, many of them, to be on a health journey, to believe God for healing, to experience healing, but also to move with resilience throughout life, even when God's answers to us are different than what we would want. You know, my next guest, Tim Hagee Sr., that has been his experience. He was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's. And of course, he's asked God to take away that disease and to heal him. And there have been moments like that. I know because I spoke with him, when we weren't taping the conversation, when we weren't recording it. But he's come to a place where he says that this disease that he has and that God has not chosen to take from him yet, he says that this disease was meant to mature him and make him complete. Now, that's incredible. It's meant to mature his faith and change him. And, I have learned so much from speaking with Tim. He is a brilliant mind and a leader, and he is a humble follower of Jesus. And I'm just so thrilled you're going to get to hear him speak in just a moment. And I know that it will encourage you, it will strengthen you no matter what you're facing, and you will find new purpose and hope in the midst of any health challenge you have. Stay with us for that. He's the season one winner of The Amazing Race Canada, the best-selling author of the book Perseverance, a sought-after TEDx speaker, and the founder of a life-changing nonprofit, U-Turn Parkinson's. Tim Hague Sr. joins us now to share his very inspiring personal story. Welcome to 100 Huntley Street, Tim.
Morning, Lara.
Morning. We're so thankful you're joining us today for an update because you've been here before.
Yeah. It's been quite a while, but thank you for having me back.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Well, there's some exciting developments in your life.
Oh, my.
But before we go to those, let's maybe go back and give our viewers a refresher of your journey, maybe the journey some of them already know about.
Yeah.
But at 46 years old, you were a husband and a father and a practicing nurse.
Yeah, that's right.
And one morning in the kitchen, your whole life changed.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting there reading the Saturday morning paper, and a brand new thought entered my head. My left big toe's twitching. And sure enough, it was. And I knew then and there that it was either likely MS or Parkinson's. My dad had Parkinson's. I have a half-sister has MS. And, you know, I did what any good husband would do at that point. Said, just keep my mouth shut, which isn't the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But we had an anniversary trip planned, and so I thought I'd wait till after that to tell my wife. But I ended up telling her earlier. And at 46, I was diagnosed with young-onset Parkinson's disease.
So young-onset Parkinson's disease is something that strikes a younger generation. But of course, at that time, didn't many people around you, your age even, look like...
Oh, no.
You know, like the Parkinson's patients that you suddenly were...
No.
Within a hospital, in a doctor's office or a hospital room.
I had never seen anyone my age with Parkinson's. So it was, I was not happy, to say the least, that I was diagnosed with this disease because, you know, I had watched my dad suffer with it, and I knew, had a good idea of what was going to come with this, and this was not a journey that I wanted to walk.
Yeah.
But it was one that God had called me to, and, you know, we either trust him or we don't, right?
Yeah.
We say that he is God in the high moments and in the low moments, that he's God on the mountaintop and God in the valley. And do we believe it?
Yeah.
And so this was one of those opportunities to put our faith to the test.
Yeah.
Is he really God in my life or not?
Mm-hmm. And you and your wife both have a very strong faith. You're a strong family of faith. I got a chance to speak with her today, and she's an inspiring woman, just like you're an inspiring man.
Yes. Yes.
Through those early days of finding out you had Parkinson's and what you knew the symptoms would be as a nurse, you would know what was going to be coming.
Mm-hmm.
How did your faith in God really make a difference? Were you guys praying a lot? How did you find the strength spiritually?
Well, we literally had to revisit our faith again, you know, and say, you know, are we going to allow God to be God in this? You know, there was a point where I wanted to let it be a curse. You know, why me? Why are you doing this to me, God? But the more I looked at that, the more I realized what a dumb question.
Yeah.
Because I had never asked the other question.
Mm-hmm.
Why me? Why did you allow me to be adopted? I was born my birth mother was a 20-year-old white girl from Iowa,
mm-hmm.
pregnant from a married black man,
mm-hmm.
in 1964. There was no lineup to adopt biracial babies back in 1964, yet God sent me, a mom and dad from Kansas, to adopt me and five more like me.
Wow.
Never asked God, why me then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, never asked God, why me when I got a good education, got a good nursing education, got a good nursing job,
yeah.
made my way with, Cheryl and I have four beautiful kids, you know, sons-in-law, daughters-in-law, grandkids. Never stopped and asked, why me then?
Mm.
Why me now that I have Parkinson's? So I decided in the end that I was going to trust God with this and that I was going to embrace it as a blessing rather than a curse and to embrace this new best friend, whom I hate,
mm-hmm.
but nonetheless embrace it as a blessing rather than a curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you're saying here because we don't ask God why me when something good happens, when we're blessed and somebody else isn't, and you could compare your life.
Because that's all me, right? That's all on me. I did the good stuff.
Hmm.
But it's God's fault when the bad stuff comes.
That's a deep theology right there we could unpack for a while.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a big thought. It's a huge thought. I can see why you do those TEDx speeches. Good. You know, as a nurse, you would know what symptoms were going to be coming,
mm-hmm.
and even some of the symptoms right now. What would be some of the things someone would journey through, say for that person who's watching, who maybe doesn't know a lot about Parkinson's? Sometimes we find out about it because we know somebody and mm-hmm. we're journeying with them, but What would your body and mind be going through?
The visible things that you often see is this. You know, I'm not twitching here because I'm nervous to be on television. I'm not. The moving around is from my medication.
Yeah.
That causes that. So the four motor symptoms of Parkinson's are tremor, rigidity, slowness, and loss of balance. Yeah. Those are the four that we most often see, and that people often associate with being an old man's disease. But there are so many unseen symptoms that are really what give us grief. Okay. If we just had those four motor symptoms to deal with, most of us would say, no sweat. But it's the emotional things that come with it. It's the cognitive, the slowing down of your mind. It's not that it doesn't work, but just it won't work quick. Everything takes so much time. Yeah. The bladder problems, yeah. The bowel problems, the drooling, the it's called rapid REM sleep disorder, where I'm punching my wife in the middle of the night because you don't stay asleep. You start acting out your dreams. And that can be bad,
yeah.
Especially for her. So there's lots and lots of things that come with Parkinson's that people don't see that makes it very much an invisible disease.
Yes.
That people just don't understand.
And it's a nerve disease of the brain, right? That spreads throughout the body.
We stop making dopamine.
Right. And that makes me think a lot about mental health and wellness, because mm-hmm. when our dopamine is off, it's very hard to feel balanced in our anxiety or depression, and those things rise up in us as a result.
And 50% of people living with Parkinson's disease will have depression.
Right. Okay. So, when we go back to those early days of you experiencing this disease and being diagnosed with it, mm-hmm. you and your son, Tim Jr., decided to do something very adventurous in the face of this mm-hmm. diagnosis. And you auditioned to be part of the Amazing Race Canada.
Yeah. Well, Cheryl said that we would have something to do with this.
Again, such an inspiring woman.
Yes. So it was entirely her idea she insisted that we apply because she said, they're going to love your Parkinson's, and I guarantee you, you'll get an interview.
Wow. Yeah.
So she knows something that I don't.
Women often do. No, I'm just joking. But I think that just, you
no,
know,
they do.
Being
you
a
do.
Praying wife, I know I'll hear the Holy Spirit sometimes before
That's right.
my husband does. You know, you went and you did the Amazing Race Canada, and you won.
We won.
Season one winner. Yeah. And it's neat because, you know, here you and your son have this beautiful memory together. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a very physical journey throughout the Amazing Race Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, at that stage, your body is already struggling.
Yeah.
But you push through and you guys win.
I look back at my Parkinson's now, you know, I compare it then to now. And I look back and I was a wimp. That was nothing compared to now.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty confident I wouldn't be able to finish it now.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't have the stamina for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, out of that journey at the Amazing Race Canada, mm-hmm. this concept of a U-turn, mm-hmm. U-turn Parkinson's,
That's right.
came out. And this is the nonprofit that you run, mm-hmm. that you founded. It excites me to no end because, you know, when you talk about being someone who has early onset Parkinson's and you mm-hmm. looked around and no one around you had this disorder at That's that right. age, this disease, your organization offers practical tools that I think are life-saving.
Yes.
But I'll let you tell us a bit more about U-turn Parkinson's.
Well, in a nutshell, we are a wellness center that looks at the person with Parkinson's from a holistic standpoint, but we really have a heartbeat for exercise. Because science has shown us, research has shown us, that the next best thing I can do for myself, besides take my pills, is to exercise. It actually slows the progression of my symptoms and oftentimes will stop it in people. Mm. And so as much as I love the fact that we spend billions of dollars on research over time, we don't spend near enough research dollars for Parkinson's, but nonetheless, we spend far more money on research than we do wellness. And we know that wellness will help us significantly. We know that exercise will help us. So I chose to put my efforts there mm-hmm. and attempt to help people to live well with the disease today. And thus, U-turn Parkinson's.
Yeah.
We do lots of different things. Folks can find us at uturnparkinsons.org. You can see all that we do there. And it's been a huge help to our community.
It has. I mean, you know, the fact that you guys focus on social, emotional, physical, spiritual components of struggling with Parkinson's and that journey is really incredible. And it's such an inspiring organization. And I do believe it's saving lives. You know, one of the things we chatted about here a few moments ago before we got into our interview was the importance of reaching out to those who have Parkinson's in your life and, you know, maybe getting them off the couch, or because that is the place where you said when you're sitting on a couch quiet alone, that's where your symptoms will subside. Yeah. But that's actually a very dangerous place to be.
It's a very dangerous place to be. You know, people see me here squirming around a little bit, tremoring. Well, I'm one of the healthiest people I know with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. There are folks who live with much worse symptoms than I, and we saw throughout COVID that it was very easy to move away, to slide home, sit on the couch where it's quiet, stress-free, no stressors, no problems, no stuff, and get stuck there. And so I want to encourage people, you know, that if you know somebody with Parkinson's and you haven't seen them for a while, they're not out, go get them.
Okay.
You need to go get them, because don't wait for them to come to you, because they're not going to come. It's very, very easy for us to hide away, because we don't want people to see us like this. We don't want people to see us kind of out of control of our bodies. It's embarrassing for lots of people. It's very uncomfortable. And so if you're concerned about somebody, you need to go find them.
That's a good word. That's a good word for our viewers, a word of encouragement. You know, and I appreciate that even though you are uncomfortable and you feel that in your life, you are staying up as a public figure. You are speaking loudly about this issue and helping to mobilize people to find healing and health and wellness in this life. If someone's watching right now and they're on a Parkinson's journey, maybe caring for a loved one or they themselves have it, what words of encouragement and hope could you offer them based on your life experience?
James 1. Consider it pure joy. Pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you will be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. We may not want to walk this road. Nobody asked me if I wanted to walk this road. I had no choice in it. But I know that God is using it to mature me, to make me complete, so that I'm lacking nothing. And it's not fun every day. It's not easy every day. But a lot of days it is fun. A lot of days it is easier. And it is very fun to see all that we're involved in helping others.
Yeah.
So that's the encouragement I take from Scripture. And that's the encouragement I give to others. Learn to persevere.
Yes. Because
perseverance, I define it as this: to carry on in your course of action, even in the face of difficulty, with little or no evidence of success. You saw that in our race on the Amazing Race Canada. We carried on in our course of action, even when it was difficult, and there was no hope of success there.
Yeah.
But we were successful, and we can be successful in this race as well, knowing that God is perfecting us. God is working in my life and in others to make us better for His kingdom and for those that we serve here.
Yes. Amen. That's such a good word, Tim. And it really just roots into my heart. So inspiring and encouraging. And the truth, it's biblical truth. Tim, you've written that book, Perseverance, and now I'm going to go get it. It's so good what you've just said. And, you know, you talked about helping others and knowing that we're on this journey for a reason. And we are being formed as we live through our trials, and yet we are called to help others. And you are helping others through Compassion Canada.
Yes.
Tell us about what you were doing there. This is so thrilling and exciting to hear.
Well, people often will say, why are you sponsoring kids? What does that have to do with Parkinson's? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with Parkinson's. And that is one of the biggest reasons I enjoy doing it, is that it has nothing to do with me or anything else that I'm doing. And it takes me so far outside of that, that it's so thrilling that we can invest our time in the least of these, truly the least of these. Children around the world who have absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I tie it back to my adoption story very clearly. You know, the orphanage that I was placed in at birth had made the decision to keep me because nobody wanted to adopt biracial babies. Yeah. And can you imagine what my life might have been like if I'd been raised in an orphanage? It just sends tremors through me, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I look back at all that I've been blessed with, and you know, I came from nowhere and I was nobody. But somebody chose to take me and sit me at their table.
Yeah.
To feed me, to clothe me, to give me a home, give me an education, and give me a life. And I figure sponsoring kids now is the least I can do for the least of these. And so I encourage people to stop, be grateful for all that we've been given, and take a moment to celebrate that by investing in the lives of children who have so little. And to go to compassion.ca and sponsor a kid.
Yeah.
Because it's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible ministry that is happening, you know, across the world. So I'm so thankful, Tim, that you're involved in it. And, you know, your choice to sit here today and to share with us about all God can do in the face of trials, your choice to be involved in Compassion Canada, the choice your parents made to adopt you, it shows us we have choice. We have choice and agency to be doers of what God is asking us to do to change this world.
I tell people often that, you know what, we look around the world and we see the headlines today and it's horrible. Like how will we ever individually make a difference in this world? It feels so daunting. It feels so impossible. But I guarantee you that for as little as $57 a month, you can change a kid's life for all eternity.
Yeah.
Because every kid that is sponsored through Compassion, they will be presented with the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we know that over time, the vast majority of those kids make a commitment to Christ.
Wow. Sowing into, yeah.
I mean, do I need to say anything else?
No, I'm just going to say we're sowing into their life here, sowing into their life in eternity.
Yeah.
Wow. Tim, that's so encouraging. Well, we've got to get to compassion.org, it is, right?
.ca.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for these words of encouragement today, sharing your story, and for all of the things you are doing to change the world. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Lara. My pleasure.
Tim's story is so inspiring, and just spending time with him completely changed me as a person and really encouraged me to remember that God is at work no matter what things look like, no matter what we go through. Even when God is saying a smaller no to us, He is saying a bigger yes to His purposes. And of course, all of the people being impacted by Tim and his life and U-turn Parkinson's, the way he's educating people on how to live their best lives despite having that Parkinson's diagnosis, the things they can be doing to have health for longer, to have well-being for longer and more years, and really to push back against that disease. And, you know, something Tim said, if there is anyone in your life who has Parkinson's, please go, you know, go see them, spend time with them. They just want to stay on their couch, but they need to come out of their house. They need to have time with other people. And so, you know, if I can encourage you, if you have a neighbor, a loved one, a friend, if you are someone who is struggling with Parkinson's, please look for connection at any point and often, please do. And, you know, when I think about Tim's story and I think about the way God has moved through his life in so many different ways, I realize how close God is to Tim. I realize how close Tim is to God, but I really can feel just how much Tim depends on God when I listen to him. And, you know, there's a Bible verse in Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. If that's you today and you're feeling alone or crushed in spirit or brokenhearted, I know that Tim felt that way at times in his journey. I know that the diagnosis made Tim feel that way. And I know that maybe you're facing something right now that's making you feel that way. I want to encourage you that the Lord is close to you in this very moment, and there's a reason you're listening to this podcast. God is at work around you and in you, and even if you can't feel it or see it, I want you to trust me that it's true. Please continue to open your heart to seeing that God could be moving in your life. And if you're struggling and feeling exhausted or broken or crushed, I really want to pray with you right now for strength and resilience, and that you would feel the presence of God in you and all around you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters who are listening right now, who have received negative news, who are struggling under the weight of something that they don't have control over. God, they may be feeling hopeless and broken and crushed, but God, we know that you have come to heal us and restore us and give us strength. And God, we believe you can do that in our physical bodies, and we know you can, and we also trust that you can do that in our hearts and our minds, God, in our spirits, that you can restore us no matter what our bodies are going through. And so, God, we ask for your supernatural peace to be present upon our listeners. God, we ask that you would give them comfort and resilience, that your grace would abound around them in this very moment. And God, we thank you that you would even send angels to be present with them. Lord, we thank you for our listeners. We ask that you would bless them, that you would bring people in their lives to encourage them and strengthen them. And we thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, remember, you can call our prayer lines anytime to be encouraged. Our prayer partners will listen to you and share Bible verses with you and pray with you. And we just thank you so much for tuning in. And I thank God so much for you and for the plans he has for your life. And I am believing that there is great purpose yet for you, and trusting that God will work all things together for good. Thanks for listening and tuning in. And until next time, God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.